So we are going to focus on the Holy Spirit. And first of all, have they been talking to you about the importance of the Word of God? A little bit? No, it's not a quick trick question. So if you have, how many of you have a Bible with you? How many of you have your are like me and you have your Bible with you? I've got a whole library of Bibles with you on your phone. Okay, so I'm going to have you repeat after me in just a second. We do this because we love the Word of God and we want to give it its rightful place in our lives. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to hold it up and repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It tells me who He is. It shows me His heart. It tells me who He says I am. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. Tonight I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. We say yes and amen, Papa. Your Word is true. It's forever settled in heaven. And it's the plumb line that we can measure every bit of our lives and everything that we see here by the unchanging, forever settled Word of God. Thank you, Papa. Thank you for in this transient time that we live in, you have given us something solid and secure. Like Peter said, a more sure word. Amen? Amen. Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration. We love to hear the Word of God, and I will encourage you through this week and next week to hear God talk to you and to steward well and honor what He says. Peter was like that. He was sharing in his letter an experience that he had. They went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus change and become glowing like lightning. And they saw, who was with him? Elijah and Moses. Didn't anybody tell Jesus that you can't talk to people that are dead? Hello? You say, oh, that makes me scratch my head. Except, Moses died and was buried, but God never calls any believer dead. He calls them living. Maybe that's how Jesus got by with that. Because while He was transfigured, they saw Moses, they saw Elijah, and they were talking. And he heard God's voice. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." He was talking to Peter because Peter interrupted what was going on. Did you know that Peter is the only one that the Holy Spirit interrupted, God interrupted, and Jesus interrupted? Absolutely. Every single one. When Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit couldn't wait any longer, and he hadn't even got to the altar call. It says, while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And here on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter interrupts, and God interrupts him and said, this is my Son. Listen to Him. In other words, the unspoken thing there was, Peter, be quiet a minute. And then Jesus, when Peter was trying to tell him not to go to the cross, do you remember that? He just had a supernatural revelation. He spoke what he had seen and heard. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that's awesome. You didn't get that from man. You got that from the Holy Ghost. You got that from the Father. And just immediately afterwards, Jesus tells him he's going to suffer and die. And Peter says, no way. We'll die for you. This is not going to happen to you. In other words, he was trying to convince him not to go to the cross. And Jesus interrupts him, looks him in the eye, and says, I rebuke you, Satan. Get behind me. You have in mind the things of man and not the things of God. So, I love Peter. Do you ever feel like you get ahead of stuff and you just make a mistake and it's just so embarrassed by what you did or what you said? like me within the last 24 hours, we're in good company. Peter, an apostle who saw miracles, who saw people line the streets with people that were sick, so just Peter's shadow would pass over them, because when they did, they were healed. Awesome. He made lots of mistakes, but it didn't really bother Jesus too much or the Holy Spirit. They loved the guy and they loved hanging with him. And it's pretty obvious, because he was so filled up with God, even his shadow passed over and people got healed. There is such an increase that's been going on in the last couple of years. Yeah, I know there's lots of junk going on in the world, but it makes so much difference what you choose to focus on. And I've been on that seesaw. I've been up and can't sleep at night and been looking at news and didn't get back to sleep very, very soon. After a while, you learn this is counterproductive. And when you choose, I learned a long time ago, fortunately, it helped me get through the last couple of years. When you choose not to focus on that, and that if you can't sleep or you're worrying in the middle of the night, you choose to give yourself to the Word of God and seek Him, you're opening a door to heaven to invade your house, your home, your mind, your life, your body. And it'll revolutionize the trajectory of your life. It'll make such a change. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us, that causes us to remember things that God has said in His Word. And the more you expose yourself to God and to the things of God, the more the Holy Spirit has to draw up in your spirit that's already been laid up in there. It is so awesome. And He's a life giver. One of my favorite verses, the last time we went through the Holy Spirit class, we made it a memory verse every week. John 7:37-38. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." John 7:37-38. We used to do that with kids. And I'm going to give you lots of sidetracks because I'm kind of pent up, because I used to preach 3 times a week, and I haven't done that for several years. So you're just going to get, if you hear the beep, 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 it's the truckload backing up, about ready to dump again. We used to, when the kids were growing up, Joel will remember this, when we'd go to pray for the kids at night, we'd always lead them through verses of Scripture. And started with Jana, and then Josh got in on it. And then by the time Joel came along, it was more than one verse. And then by the time Joseph came along, it was several. Lay up Scripture. How many of you have kids? Pray for them every night. First of all, hug them every day. Even if they're squealing, trying to get away from you, they don't want to yield. They don't want to do it. Hug them anyway. Just love them. Love them, love them, love them. Discipline, when you have to, will stick and have a lot more long-term effect if your kids know that you love them. We would hug them in the morning. We'd hug them at night when they go to bed. And we would pray for them, pray over them always. And then we'd have them repeat verses of Scripture from the time they were little. Do you remember that, Joel? Lay it up in your kids. Lay it up in your heart. You'll be laying it up in your heart as well. And I would just have them repeat it after me. Well, then when in church, when we would have all the kids come in with the adults on Wednesday nights for the first 10, 15 minutes. And we'd always do verses of Scripture, sometimes for several weeks. And some of them would stick. I had kids years later, grown adults, saying they still remembered that. And you plant seed that gets in their heart. When I was a young boy, just in like maybe second grade, and we started going to a Christian church, and I loved the Sunday school, and they drilled into us week after week, John 3:16. I still know that by heart. And that was why. When you plant those seeds, start with one short verse. Let the Lord direct you and just keep. That is something the Holy Spirit breathes his life upon. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, yes. Squirrel. And if you wonder what that's about, ask some of the parents. They could probably tell you what kids' movie that's from. So, let's invite the Holy Spirit. Just go ahead and be comfortable for a second. Hold your hand out. You can put it on your lap if you want to, like you're going to receive. You've heard Bryce talk about God's name in the Old Testament, Yahweh, the unpronounceable name, because there is no vowels in Yahweh. It's just the four letters, Yod, He, Vav, He. If you take the first two, it sounds like taking a breath in. The last two, sounds like breathing out. So just for a minute, let's focus in on him. Let's lean into him. Breathe him in. And then breathe him out. In both Greek and Hebrew, the word for spirit in Greek is pneuma. In Hebrew, it's ruach, spirit, and it's also translated or can be translated breath. So just, we are going to invite the Holy Spirit to come right now. Just lean into that. Take a deep breath and just drink him in. Yes. We drink you in, Spirit of God. We invite you. Do all that you please in us tonight. Teach us. Let us see. Let us understand. Amen. The Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament, he is seen as an awesome, unrestrained, dynamic, explosive power that comes upon people for extraordinary tasks. Example, how many of you know who Othniel is? He's Caleb, Joshua and Caleb. Caleb's little brother, Othniel. And it talks about, it's in Judges 3:10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he led them and defeated enemies. Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse 24, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. I'm going to sidetrack and jump ahead because the second part of this is the Holy Spirit is a truth teller. And he will tell you what God says about you, even if it does not agree with your present circumstances. And we will shoot ourselves further down the purpose and into the purpose of God, make progress when we begin to do the same thing, when we begin to speak over our lives what God says about us rather than our circumstances. Gideon, Israel was overrun by an enemy. And he was living as a coward. He was hiding out for fear of the enemy coming and stealing more from them after all the horrible things they'd already seen. So he was hiding out in the wine press, threshing grain inside there, hoping not to be seen. The angel shows up and says, "Hail, Gideon, mighty man of valor." I used to think that was God's humor, sort of making fun. That's how much I did not understand as a preacher. But I began to see over the years, no, God calls things that are not as though they are. He saw Gideon's future, and he called Gideon according to his future, a mighty man of valor. God sees your future, and he calls you according to your future. You are a beloved son of God. You are a beloved daughter, a princess. There is no one he loves more. That's why you can say with confidence, I am God's favorite, because you are. He is so in love with you. He has an amazing plan for you and has an amazing future for you. Get a glimpse of it through his promises, through his word, and by the Holy Spirit, through the prophetic, grab a hold of it and begin to echo it over your own lives. And as you do that, you'll open the door for more and more and more. Okay, Lord. First time we went out to Bethel to a prophetic conference, when we went out for that, we thought we just were exposed to Bethel worship, and we'd fallen in love with Bethel worship. And we decided we were going to go. That's a whole nother miracle story. It's an awesome story. But our reasoning was, okay, we're going to do this. It's not a good time. We don't have the money. Don't know how that could happen, but... so it must be God. Let's do it. And we had miracle after miracle. But we decided, prophetic conference is the one coming up that we're going to be able to go to. I suppose we can endure some more end time teaching, just be a part of that worship. Because that's where our minds were. We thought, you know, we're going to have to endure some teaching about the Antichrist and the 10 toes on the... but that's not what it was. And when we got there and realized what we were in the middle of was like, where have these people been all of our lives? These are our people. This is our tribe. And so are you. I was overcome that first year, how many people came and began to echo God's heart for me, that I was a father. And people didn't know me, and they didn't know that over the decades, I had changed my view of ministry and began to see that that's what a pastor's supposed to be, and how he treats people should be like a dad who loves his kids. And they echoed that. They didn't know me. And I don't know if it was that year or the next year, I began to hear him say, you're a father in Kansas, to Kansas. And within the next year, they started saying to the nations, well, I don't even have a passport. But... God gives me favor with people from other nations all the time. I just can't help it. I love them. Other nationalities. I love them. When they come into the store and the other people that work there tend to back away because, well, I won't name any nationalities, but there's some that they back away from. Middle Eastern, Far Eastern, especially in the last couple of years. I gravitate to them. These are my people. They're my long-lost friends. And along with anybody, well, I won't go into that. But my point is that the Holy Spirit saw that and began to speak it over me before I ever walked in it. And I wrote it down and began to say that over myself. You do the same. When you hear those things and it stretches you and you're not sure that it applies to you, go ahead, take it to heart, and begin to pray it. Begin to echo it. And when God quickens it, you know, something God had quickened to me years ago was from the Psalms was, your sons will take the place of your fathers, and you will make them princes throughout the land. At that time, my life was all about the ones that were over me and teachers. And the emphasis began to change. And if you know any of my boys, you know that God's hands on them, and he's raising them up, and they are princes in the land. They love God. They walk with him. But then I began to see that work out in other ways and in other lives because of being a father. So Back to Gideon. That's what God did. Samson, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily in Judges 14, verse 6. David, he killed a bear, killed a lion, killed Goliath, armies. David's mighty men. The Spirit of God came on them. I love, is it Abijah? It says he killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Didn't snow that often in Israel, but it was snowy, and the lion went down in the pit. It's kind of slick out when it snows, if you noticed. And he's going after a lion. You talk about a mighty man. God's Spirit was all over those guys. Ezekiel, Elijah. It talks about the Spirit of God entering them, or the hand of God upon them. And then we come to Jesus. When he was baptized in water, God spoke. The Holy Spirit descended on him. And God said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." A couple notes to fathers. Affirm your kids publicly. It's going to be easier to do publicly if you do it on a regular basis at home. Affirm them, who they are, and your relationship with them, and that you're proud of them. Well, you don't know what they did. Excuse me, God knows what you did, and he's still proud of you. He still loves you. Love them, give them public affirmation, let them know. It'll change your life. It'll change theirs. And then what did Jesus immediately do after that? The Holy Spirit led him. It says he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Yay. He resisted all the temptation with the Word of God. You know, you can't defeat temptation on your own. You've got to have two things to defeat the temptation that the enemy comes after you with. The Holy Spirit, be full of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Those are your two strongest weapons against the attacks that come against you. That's what Jesus had. He's our example. Luke 14, and then it says, Jesus, armed with the Holy Spirit's power, returned. When you're full of the Holy Spirit and you have the Word of God, you can walk through anything and you'll come out of it and you'll be in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's for everyone. Oh, excuse me, one more. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. God anoints people. He anointed Jesus. He anoints you with his Holy Spirit and with power to do good and to heal. That's what it says there. There's an anointing to do good. Jesus had it. All these different expressions of the working of the Holy Spirit. And it's for every believer. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will seize with power." That's the alternate translation that Brian Simmons puts in the footnotes in Acts chapter 1 there. I love that. He says, you'll seize with power. Okay, one more sidetrack. Are you tired of sidetracks? Good, because you're going to get more. Not Charles Finney, but James Finley was a circuit rider for the Methodists in the Western frontier back when the West was Ohio in the early 1800s. And he became a circuit rider. He often had 17 places he preached and rode horse between in 1 week. And they saw incredible move of God. There'd be times they would have meetings. They'd come together for church or a camp meeting. They had people who didn't like them and wanted to kill them. And so the men usually brought their guns with them to church, and they'd have people standing guard. And sometimes people would come just to disrupt. And often, those people who came to disrupt or harm would get what they called the bends or the jerks. Have any of you seen videos of the Brownsville revival? And you've probably seen, look that up. Might make you scratch your head. But that was nothing new. God has done that type of thing throughout the centuries. The presence of God gets so strong that people twitch or jerk, but the ones who were resisting would often get the bends. They'd just be going back and forth like this and couldn't stop. And then they would finally pass out or be slain in the spirit. One of two things would happen when they would awake. They always had visions, and they'd either been to heaven or hell. And they would either get saved, or they would leave and never come back. Problem solved. He was preaching in a small church in the middle of where, I think it was the Wyandots. And there were lots of young people. It was at the school, actually, and he'd come in to preach. And the Spirit of God, the presence and the power of God got so strong. And some of them were crawling out to the bushes, and he could hear them because the presence was so strong they couldn't stand. And they'd be out in the bushes crying out to God. This is part of our heritage as America. There has been such a move of God, and there was at that time. Have you ever heard of the Canebrake Revival, Kentucky Canebrake Revival? Anybody? Look it up. 1805 to 1810, somewhere in there is where it happened. They estimate 70,000 people. Now remember, no vehicles that weren't pulled by horse. Most of them just came on horseback and would come for days, if not weeks, in the wilderness, would camp out and seek God. This guy, when he was first coming to the Lord, they'd heard about it, so he and a friend decided to ride there. I forget how many days it took him to get there to see. He said it was so strange because he estimated 70,000 people, and there was several guys preaching all at the same time all around. And he said there would be times when it would look like a cannon would go off, and 50 people or more would fall out at once under the Holy Spirit. This was the Methodist church in those days. And it went on for days. He said he had such an uncontrollable urge to fall down on the ground, and he wouldn't. And he was fighting back the tears, and he decided, I'm a man, I got to get out of here. And so they did, and it was on the way home that he was so overcome conscious of his own sin and failures and shortcomings that he couldn't ride anymore, and he fell off his horse and couldn't move, couldn't say a word. And his friend found an old Swedish guy in a cabin nearby, and he spoke in very broken English, but he knew God, and he knew what was. They carried him to the cabin. The Swedish guy prayed over him for 3 days, and he said, and then it was like heaven broke in, and the guy was changed forever. God does strange things from our point of view. But there is a war taking place, and the treasure is you. God's fighting for you, and the devil wants to kill you, to destroy you. And the Holy Spirit is the working of the power of God, convicting of sin, making the presence of God known, and revealing Jesus. I'm not mad. It's just hard to be quiet when I am focused on that. I am not a soft-spoken teacher very much. Holy Spirit is the truth teller. It's so life-giving, so good. John 14:17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's the one who draws you to Jesus. When I was a freshman, I tried to take my life. It was a bad year. Missed 30 days of school. But we were going to church. I was in Sunday school every week. And we had a teacher, and it was a Christian church. We had a teacher who every week at the end of the Sunday school class would have us all close our eyes, and she'd given us an invitation to give our hearts to Jesus and would invite us to raise our hand if we wanted to do that. And every single week when she did that, I wouldn't budge, but my heart would beat so hard. I was sure somebody else could either hear it or see it because the Holy Spirit was pounding on the door of my heart. This was before I tried to take my own life. He was trying to rescue me before it ever came to that. Steve, this is what you need. This is what you need. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes to convince us. And it's in John 17. Read John 14, 15, 16, 17. And look for all the references to the Holy Spirit. He comes to convince of sin and of judgment. Because the prince of this world is already judged. The Holy Spirit wants to convince you again and again that the devil's defeated. And that what he tells you is a lie. And what God says is the truth. The Holy Spirit is a truth teller. John 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit echoes the heart of God. He breathes the words of God, the life of God. John 15, 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit delights in honoring Jesus. He doesn't care if he gets credit. He delights in putting the spotlight on Jesus. That's just who he is. And how good he is. The Holy Spirit is always leading and directing us into truth, but it's a good idea to cooperate with him. Steward what he says and steward it well, and when you do, more is what you value, you attract. When you show your value for God's word, his promises that he's. You know when you're reading your Bible and a verse of Scripture just jumps out to you? Immediately underline it or highlight it. Bob Mumford used to say, if your Bible's too good to mark in, throw it away and get a cheap one. Because it is for your learning. I learned years ago that if I don't mark it when it's jumping into my heart, and then later when I want to go find it, it's disappeared. And I can't find it anywhere. Now, we have lots of tools these days to be able to search those out and find them. Somebody told me once that, rather than using the search in the Bible app, I just use the search engine that I use all the time. I thought, that can't be right. They said it works better than the one in the Bible app. And it does. I can find a verse of Scripture so quickly that-a-way. Jesus said, we're going to be in John 17, verse 17, the Holy Spirit is leading you into all truth. He's not leading you into all the facts. There's a difference between the facts. They may be true facts, but that's not the truth. The facts may be your family member is in rebellion against God, turned their back on him, and running away. The truth is the promises to you and your whole household and as many as the Lord our God will call, the promise of salvation. So call those kids, call your family members according to what God says in his word, not according to the circumstances. We talk too much about the problems and not enough about the answer. And we need to learn, continually to learn what the Holy Spirit says. He's the truth teller. Let's do what he does. Let's speak the truth over our circumstances and situations. Honor the word of God. Echo it. How many of you got a homework sheet tonight? Did anybody look at it? Part of the exercise is to do exactly that. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him direct you to a promise. And then make it a declaration out of it and begin to incorporate it into your life. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Okay. I got to quit here because we're pushing in on time we're supposed to be up or go into. Oh, we don't have to go upstairs, do we? Oh, I'm operating in the wrong. This is not our small groups. This never mind. I love him so much. He is so good. And he will grant you the desires of your heart as you delight in him. And sometimes in surprising ways. Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word's truth. Not the circumstances, but his word. The Holy Spirit will tell you the truth of what Papa says in his word about you. Back again to Gideon. While living in fear and cowardice, God called him a mighty man of valor. That was the truth that outlasted his circumstance. What has he been saying over you? What has he been writing on your heart? What scriptures, what promises has he been highlighting to you? Steward them well. They are life changers. They are course setting and course correcting. They are food and they are power releasers. One of the things this hasn't been specifically on the gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight, but he's all about those. He loves them because they bring honor to Jesus and they draw people to Jesus. So we are going to release a couple things here. And Casey, you ready to jump in? You want me to do one first? Okay. And I want to talk about how these work for us too after after we do these. Okay, this is for someone who, and it could be several, who has done devotions possibly recently by candlelight. Raise your hand if you usually have a candle going when you do devotions. Anybody? Even if it's an electric one. Pardon? Sometimes? Anybody sometimes? Okay. If that's you, go ahead and stand up. Somebody out there? Awesome. Awesome. Well, here's what the Lord says. I heard this over you. He sees it. And he loves it. Just like you draw near to his presence there in your private time with him, he's drawn to you. You cultivate love for him through that time you spend with him. And he's cultivating his love for you. I mean, that was the idea. He sees you cultivating love for him. He's going after you. He says you're becoming his candle in the dark, and others are being drawn to you. They notice it's not dark in your presence. Your fear to share has been diminishing as the light shines brighter, and you have found your strength in him. In that relationship and union you have cultivated, and it's making you bold. And a passage of scripture to go with that is Psalm 27, 1 through 7, especially in the Passion Translation. Okay, Casey, where'd you go? You're up.
You can come up here so they can see you. They can see me. Okay, so when Steve asked me, just as I was praying, I just kept getting a burning or a tightness in my chest. So So, is there anybody that's been battling with, like, just any chest, like chest tightness or burning? Maybe not today, maybe this week. Okay, if that's you, stand up. Okay, so what I just kept hearing the Lord saying was that it's been a distraction, and I kept hearing peace carrier over you, and just that you are a peace carrier in the atmospheres that you go in, and there's been a distraction. He wants to touch whatever that is in your chest, but I believe that for me, what I kept hearing was it's a distraction. And the scripture that just kept coming to my mind was, those whose minds are kept on Christ are kept in perfect peace. And for me, I just declare that over you guys, that he's reminding you to fix your gaze, that whatever's coming upon your days or weeks or situations or life, fix your gaze. That is your life source. And you are a peace carrier. And so the enemy wants to get that tripped up, but he says, no, that's a distraction. So get your gaze. You're a peace carrier, and you're the peace, the shalom heaven will fall on you. But it's just, yeah, that whatever is in you, we just declare right now, Jesus, that he touches that and it's healed and restored, and restore peace and shalom in your life.
Hang out here for just a second. The last one is the number 27 significant to anybody? Anybody else? Stay standing. If nothing comes to mind, that's fine. The color blue. Stand up if blue speaks to you. Okay, what I saw was, it was like a big sphere, and it was setting on a cube of similar size. And as I thought, what is this? And as I was asking about it, I felt led to go to Psalm 42:7. My deep need calls out to the deep kindness of your love. And what I saw was, in the prayer house when we were out at Bethel, right in the very center, I remembered, oh, there's this square water place and this big sphere in the front of it that had edges all around it, and it was a waterfall, and the water trickled down every side of it and made this beautiful noise. And then when I turned here to Psalm 42:7, my deep need calls out to the deep kindness of your love. Your waterfall of weeping sent waves of sorrow over my soul, carrying me away, cascading over me like a thundering cataract. All through the day, Yahweh has commanded his endless love to pour over me. And through the night, I sing his songs and my praises to the living God. I will say to my God, you are my mountain strength. Your deep need, he is seen, and he's answering it with the deep kindness of his love. Even when your heart has wept, he's commanding his love towards you like a waterfall of healing and endless love. Your altar of sacrifice and weeping is turned into a life-giving fountain, a source of rest and joy, waterfalls. Okay, did that resonate with anybody? Awesome, awesome. If it does, take it to heart. Now, go ahead and sit down, because what we want to do is talk for just a minute about process of working with the Holy Spirit. And you can tell from each of us a little bit. And if you want to move in those things, begin to ask him. And ask him to show you things, and then go on this adventure of discovery of how he speaks to you. Sharon and I both see things in our spirit. And when I was asking the Lord earlier, you know, the first one was I saw a candle. And then the rest of that came from that. And then that second time I started tonight with what I'd seen, the sphere on top of a square. And then it reminded me of, and then the blue might have to do with water. And 42:7 came to mind. I didn't even realize till I was looking it up that the last two numbers of 42:7 is 2:7. So anyway, that's how it works. And it's so exciting when it really resonates with somebody. If you're like me, there are times you get something and it just feels like poof. Hey, we're learning. We are learning. My favorite encouragement with that is Sean Bowles, when he goes into a coffee shop and feels like he has a word for a guy, and he interrupts and tells him what he has, and he says, "Does that mean anything to you?" The guy says, "No, not at all." And he apologized and said he's just a believer trying to learn to hear God's voice and just wants him to know he's loved and cared about. And he says, "You're a believer?" He said, "Yeah." "You're a Christian?" "Yeah." "You got a minute?" And so he said, "Sure." And he asked him to sit down. He visited with him for about a half hour. And in the process, Sean led the guy to Jesus. Oh, by the way, he was a producer in Hollywood. God can use your mistakes. Just move in love. Stay in the love of God. How does it work with you, Casey? Just walk, tell them how you felt when I asked you, and then your process of trying to find what the Lord had for
you. I mean, for me, I quiet myself and I just ask him. I think I had to learn how the Lord speaks to me. I mean, you know, and that's cultivated in my quiet time, just where I kind of learn how, you know, so like maybe how Steve hears may not be how I hear, or how Chris hears, or whatever. And one, I've had to learn that it's okay if I don't hear how Steve hears. I had to learn how I hear from the Lord. But again, it's cultivated in that quiet place. And then it's just practicing. Like, I think, you know, it's like even too, it's kind of like, oh, you're going to ask me what if you don't shut. And it's like the Lord promises He's with you, like the Spirit of God's in you. So again, it's just remembering that, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, what if I'm here? What if I mess up or whatever? And it's kind of like, I mean, we all, right? I mean, am I the only one that feels that way? I mean, you know, but it's just like, I think even for me, it's just going, okay, we're going to step out and risk and say, okay, Jesus, I'm practicing listening from you. And how do you speak to me? Some people see things. Some people just hear, I mean, it's all the different things. And so, But I just, for me, I've had to learn how to cultivate that in the quiet place of how the Lord speaks to me. So,
what was your initial feeling when I asked you?
Oh, crap.
Thank you for an honest answer.
No.
But she shows what a woman then, of faith she is, because that was her initial reaction, and she persevered through it. And look how many people that ministered to.
Amen. Right.
And I don't know how many times when the Lord whispers stuff to me, and I think, oh gosh, is this going to work? I don't know. And how many times did I even talk myself out of doing it? I challenge you to talk yourself into it. Give it a try. What if it hits? And most of the time, you're going to be surprised at how awesome it is. Mm-hmm. It hasn't stopped being, it's not the same as it used to be. It's not as scary as it used to be. But there's still that moment when I respond like that, oh, crap.
Well, and I even just want to encourage people, maybe some people are like, why did she feel that way? Does she doubt? She hears from the Lord? So that's not my issue. I do know and trust that I hear from the Lord. I hate talking in front of people. I know. Most people are kind of like, fun fact about Casey Vanover, hate talking in front of people. So even too, when it's something like, hey, can you get up there and just share with the Lord? It's kind of like, oh, not only do I just stand in front of people, but it's like, right? Okay, so, I mean, I'm just being honest. So again, but I think that's something that we've had to learn to push through in our life, because if someone were to ask, you know, like, and yeah, y'all do it. Yeah, I'll hear from the Lord. I mean, you don't need to hear from me, right? But the Lord values every single one of us. So for me to take on that belief would not be what the Father's heart is for me, right? So that's where we just have to encourage one another to say, you all hear from the Lord. And the Lord is going to ask us all to step out at some point. But it's just continuing to challenge yourself to be open to the risk and the challenge. Because there's always going to be somebody who can just say, well, they'll do it. But God's asking you specifically. Because we also need to remember, too, that only you carry what Jesus has put in you for the world. You know what I'm saying? So every single person is valued to the kingdom. So not only just Jen or Jessica or Alec, but, you know, every single one of you have a purpose and a hand in that. So when you cover it up and you hide it, we're not releasing full kingdom.
So good. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you may. Papa, we thank you so much for your awesome love. Holy Spirit, we love you, and we love how you love us and teach us and gently lead us. And we're asking that you turn up the rheostat, help us to see and perceive more and more, challenge us.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As we get ready to press in these next few minutes, I just want to encourage you all in this reality that we have a Father who sees in secret. He sees in the secret of your heart. We have a Father who knows us so much better than we even know ourselves. He sees who you are going to be long before you can even imagine it. And so my encouragement to you tonight is as we get ready to just take some time before him and to engage with his Spirit, let's resist the temptation to heap up many empty phrases, saying many words to him, saying many things. But instead, let's just take a moment to sit before him. Let's just take some time to listen to his Holy Spirit. To ask him, what are you saying about me? What are you saying about me today? What are you saying is my identity? What are the words that you have for me? What have you been longing to say to me? Just waiting for me to take a moment to pause and truly listen. Well, now's that moment. Let's just pause and listen. So God, we pray as we take these next moments just to sit before you and listen. I pray that you would help us to have ears that hear. Lord, I pray that we would have eyes that see, hearts that know, Awake, O north wind. Awake, O south wind. Would you blow through our hearts? Blow through our hearts, God. Cultivate your garden. Have your way in us. We will be quiet and just listen. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. everything just makes sense. And you show up and hearts begin to sing again. We're in awe, gathered here together for you. Just for just makes sense. You show up and hearts begin to sing again. We're in awe, gathered here together for you. Just for satisfying longings inside, and as you move, we anticipate what you'll do, 'cause you're so good. You are here, you're breaking all the boxes with love. Close, you're satisfying longings inside, and as you move, we anticipate what you'll do, 'cause you're so good. And oh. this place, have your way, God.
Oh, I was
your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Holy Spirit, we love you. All your ways are perfect. And Holy Spirit, we honor you in this place. Have your way, God. Sing Holy Spirit. This place, have your way, God. Let's just sing that out. In this place, have your way, God. In every circumstance, in this place, have your way, God. I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake. I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. I want to know. I want to know you. Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake. Just as we started, we'll take a moment to now let him do that very thing, to let him overwhelm our hearts as we're quiet before him. Holy Spirit, overwhelm us. Just take a moment. Listen. He's touching you. He's speaking to you. He's stirring your love. We can only love Jesus because his Holy Spirit empowers us to do so. Let that Holy Spirit overwhelm you. We say yes, God. Bless you, Holy Spirit. I feel like God is giving you a new name. Jesus in Revelation has that white stone, and engraved on it is a name that only he knows.
is a precious place, a space that he's carved out for you. It says, I see you. I am yours, and you are mine. We just say yes and amen to that. We thank you, Jesus.